Welcome to the Big Book Podcast. We are recording on April 7th, 2024. I'm your host, Dan Javin, and with me today, I have Frank, Timelines Frank. Say hello to the people, Frank.
Hello, people.
Also joining me, Genos.
Greetings.
And Nifty Mittens.
Hello, hello.
Hey, everybody. So we are pleased that our listeners have revisited us after a brief break for the holidays. Thanks for coming back to us. Our mailbag is still open if anybody would like to leave a like or comment on our YouTube videos, or pop on over to the Trick Time Discord and say hi to us if you have any questions, comments, any sort of feedback. So what we did hear from, though, is a whole lot from the developers, whether it's WRG or DB or TPG or HG or any of the other Gs. We have a lot of news to present to you this week. First off, congratulations on making it to another First Contact Day celebration. Your reward this time around, some crew that we've already given you for the past 8 years. A gold behold that's available for you right now in the portal. You can choose between COP Picard, Set and Dress Lily Sloan, or our affectionately dubbed Shocker Cochran. I think he's actually called Phoenix Cochran. Are any of you actually pulling this pack and not getting 550 honor?
Me.
Oh, Janos, what'd you finish?
I only had 2 stars on Chakran, so I now have 3 stars on Chakran.
Really? Impressive.
Yeah. I know, right? Not nearly as whaley as some, but I'm whalier than others.
Yeah. It's the meme where the guy is deciding which red button to press and they're all tier 10 crew.
Yeah, those crew are so old. I mean, even if you started
How old
new
are
account,
they?
So old, they draw Social Security retirement. No. Well, almost. They're almost old enough to get a driver's license at this point. If you started a brand new account today, it's a gold, it would help you. And I'm sure out of the however many, you know, pick a random number, 22,000 active players that at least do events, there's probably a good chunk of them that still need a star on one of those, because it's very painful to have these old, decrepit legendaries on your roster. You don't want to retrieve those. You don't want to cite them. You just want to keep them around for when they naturally drop. So this probably helped a lot of people, but for elder players or more advanced players or people who like to min-max and really finely hone their rosters, this was at most a temporary button press and 550 honor.
I'm not really inspired by the crew, but I actually, even if I had to finish them, I still would have to keep them unfrozen because they all solve all kinds of fleet boss battle nodes for me. So even getting that 5th star is really only just collections. But that said, I'm nowhere near. I think all of mine were at 1 star. So, hey, some progress for me. The big announcement, though, for more elder players, I think, would be the drop of a brand new collection for First Contact Day. They've packaged up a Maverick collection for us, full of engine side boosts. Each threshold has at least one, so even the newest players are going to see a little bit of benefit from this. In particular, anyone who's collected any of the Tom Perai, is that the plural of Paris? It's Perai, or his... yeah, Pally, or any of his weird alter egos like FC Locarno. What's his name in game?
Yeah, that first class Nicholas Locarno. I don't know if Nicholas is in there, but yeah.
Too many letters. Anyways, he got some Maverick, and also notable. I think that was the only zero collection crew that actually got a little bit of upside. The Gauntlet Drop Archer also got his 7th collection, so that's tremendous. Anybody maxed it out the moment it dropped, or are you still working on any of your Mavericks here now? I know it changed up, Genos, you were saying it changed up a lot of your retrieve strategy going forward.
Yeah, it will. I think I'm at 61 out of 80, which...
Ooh, hate it.
I know, I just made the penultimate one. I love penultimate, it's a great word. But yeah, I'll clean that up over time, honestly. I was just happy to get a collection that's a little tidier than the bigger ones. And, you know, every single milestone has a boost, which is cool. And it's got engineering and science, and which is nice. I mean, no med, of course, but, you know, how many medical Mavericks are there? A few. Toby Russell is a Maverick, which I noticed on my Nightmare alt, because she finally got a little bit of value there. So I like it. Didn't get all 80, though. Not like certain Franks.
Well, I appreciate that it adds value just to some of these cards, like Mr. Not Tom Paris. And now we're slowly whittling down out of the 1500 and whatever 50 crew there are in the game. Now there's like 23 that don't have a collection, maybe 24. A lot of them are golds, not good golds like Portal 63 or you know. we're finally getting, you know, for a long time on the Big Book podcast or on Trek Time or even in Big Book notes, you've seen us talk about future collections or the viability of other collections with these traits, because the game developers are kind of predictably going down a list and picking a trait and making a collection out of it. So we expected it eventually to hit, and it did. And so you can expect this for other trait as such going forward too. Only adds value to your crew.
And Nifty, any notable Mavericks on your roster here?
Oh, I don't know if there's any notable Mavericks. For the record, I believe that the plural of Paris is Parisi's squares.
Well done.
And yet again, they've skipped over hologram, which I have to again express my displeasure about that. That hologram art has been in the game for years now, and it's the only one that we don't have. So,
yeah, as long as musician, right? Or roughly as long as musician, and then finally musician dropped.
Yeah, musician and Q continuum, and yeah, that hologram, I think we're all in the same thing. You know, speaking of the crew that don't have any collections, we should have a poll as far as who's going to be the last crew without a collection.
My wager's on BG Robinson, Terry Hatcher. I think she's only got Romantic otherwise from HSF. That's going to be rough.
Yeah.
But who else is there? Transporter Murderer Rand? I don't think she has one yet. Unless they give her
one.
She was wrongly defamed and framed. Kirk is the one who murdered. Kirk helmed the controls at the transporter. She stepped away, recoiled in horror, and screamed. I am an attorney. I will get her out of these charges, Your Honor.
Well, you know, maybe it will wind up being Portal 63. Portal 63, at least in our hearts, you are T'Khan, but not forgotten. So moving on, we also had a nice little collection expansion that was a windfall for a good many long-term players who have extremely high immortalized crew counts. This collection expansion, I think, expanded 8 different collections, gave them an additional tier. Some of the ones that impacted me, and I don't have, over 1,000 immortalized crew yet, but I'm working on it. But the big one that really stood out to me was the criminal collection, because it was as criminally under tiered. There were just so few that I had maxed it out just with my purples alone. What kind of rewards did all of our presenters here reap from the collection expansion?
I think I might have tiered up 2 or 3. Might have been casual and maybe one more communicator. So I think maybe it might have just been 2, because we had gotten communicators like every week, sometimes two a week for a while. But yeah, I think maybe just 2. I finished casual again with that expansion, but yeah, now I've got lots of work to do with all of them, which is
yeah,
nice.
I got a lot of tiers done, a lot of boosts, but I'm scrolling through my cryo vault here, and yeah, there's a lot of unfinished collections now, where that top tier is taunting me with its skill boost or proficiency boost. That yeah, it's nice to have extra things to work towards. I feel like I have more. Yeah, it's more fun to, you know, plan out who the next crew retrieval is going to be, you know, min max. If I add a couple stars on this person, that's, you know, 3 collections at once that all need to be finished. Because sometimes those of us elder players that try to, you know, aim for, collections. Yes, but when you've basically finished them all, this person may have 6 collections, but only one of them is unfinished. So you're planning ahead essentially for these events. These huge expansions of the collections, where suddenly it's like, aha, all that work I did before, now like everything's wide open again. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, Frank, if I were still playing the game, I would have spent quite a long time claiming all of these further collection milestones. But an account like Frank too, who much like you, Dan, is not at 1,000 yet for immortalized crew, I would not have known that there was an update had they not told me, because I did not hit any new milestones, but I had several collections that were already capped, max, that are no longer. So for anybody, I mean, it adds more goals to get, and goals are good to have, but I'm sure there's also a subset of players out there that look at it and it was daunting the day before, and now it's even further. So when you get these massive collections like Resourceful, that, or you know, any collection that has 350 is a tier, that can put somebody off pretty quickly.
It's daunting to me, and I have a pretty deep roster, and I'm looking at Resourceful, it's like, Jesus, when am I ever going to hit this top tier?
Yeah, day one player Nifty still getting value out of the collections. That's great.
I own exactly 350 Resourceful crew unique. I'm nowhere near immortalizing all 350, but I have them. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to max that collection. It'd be a lot of sites.
Yeah.
A lot of sites.
For our listeners screaming at their speakers right now, yes, there were a total of 18 collections expanded, and most of them stat boosting. A few that are spotty, like animated, which actually did get a stat on its highest threshold now, which is remarkable, because that was previously just vanity.
That's nice.
Yep. And let's see, there was the Timelines Originals, but yeah, most of the rest of these I'm seeing some nice stats at the end. So it really changes the calculus. And keep an eye on bigbook.app on the collections pull down from the main menu. All that math is done for you. So if you want to see where your crew rank after this change, it might change the calculus on your retrieval plan. So good to keep an eye on that. Let's take a look at what else we have in the news here. So about a month ago, the developers, I'll call them now because their name seems to keep changing. We've been told to direct our attention to the web store, store.startrektimelines.com. Hey, free plug. And we've been able to get a couple of neat little pickups here. They've offered some 10X premium packs. 2 weeks ago, they offered us 500 honor. This week, we didn't get a drop, unfortunately, so... For anybody that was kind of refreshing and hoping that would show up on Tuesday, unfortunately, nothing to offer. But instead, our devs did give us a really nice, almost an hour-long live stream with a whole bunch of information on things yet to come that hopefully should have placated any of our listeners. Those web store offers are obviously just driving traffic. It's not a whole lot of game-changing material there, but keep an eye on it. One of the things they did announce also is for those who are frequent purchasers of the web store, there'll be a loyalty program coming. Not soon, but in the near future. So something to reward you there.
They, by the way, they have been saying that for a year. So,
just, but they said it with feeling this time, Frank.
With those that have been holding their breath for a web store a loyalty program, continue to turn blue, because I don't think you're going to see it before you pass out. I'd love to be wrong. We'll see.
Good news is that if you have $475 just burning a hole in your pocket, you can get 62,500 chronotons. Or should you feel like that's a little much, for exactly half the price, you can get exactly half the chronotons.
And then I don't make my car payment this month. Well, good to know anyways. So
you didn't need a car. You work from home.
I have a Starship.
What does Dangevin need with a car?
I'm going to drop a quick note before we move on to discuss the live stream, but we had a really interesting week. So last week we had, well, 2 weeks ago now, we had this weird confluence of events. All the things that we wait for, that we anticipate as players, all kind of came together at once. So we had our honor sale, our quarterly, every 3 months, almost like clockwork honor sale. On top of that, midweek, we also got to enjoy our critical chronotons, or as Genos likes to call it, the crunchy crons event.
Everyone say crunchy crons.
Crunchy crons, like Cookie Crisp.
Crunchy crons.
For real chronotons you can't resist. We also had our mega recap pack. So those of you with a surplus of dilithium can convert those easily into honor for your honor sale. And also for the Easter holiday, there was a 4X offer wall. I'm not exactly sure when it began. I think we finally got our notification on it with about 2 days left to go. I know a lot of people got to capitalize on that. Anybody get to play a new game out of the offer wall this time? Anybody download anything, get some dilithium?
Nah.
The offer wall, whenever they do, and they infrequently do 2x, and even more infrequently, or infrequently squared, do 4x. It's usually around major holidays. You could see it again on 4th of July or something, but it lasts for 4 days. So, and by the time you find out, to your point, 2 days have elapsed. I did not partake, however, I did partake on the last one, which is why I have more dilithium than Fort Knox on an account I'm not playing. And it can be very profitable. If you find me in one of the 19 discords we share, dear leader, reader, ask me for tips and I can tell you how to get the most out of your offer wall.
One of my favorite tips, and I'll give a real quick hit here, is the timer does start when you download the game, but you don't necessarily have to start playing that game right away. It'll tell you, and Tapjoy is much better about this than the old host, it'll tell you exactly how long you have to complete your offer. Some of the real grindy games, especially the ones for the highest dilithium amounts, they're going to require not only that you start from day one and really give it your full attention, but some will require investment to hit those really high tiers that they have of rewards. But you've got some time, and if you're just doing it for a real brief quick hit for just a few hundred to get yourself over to the next shuttle bay that you need or to unlock a chronoton canister, you've got time. Some of these offers go up to 45 days. More commonly, you'll see them for a few weeks to a month. Well, without further ado, the live stream. So for anybody that is subscribed to the Tilting Point main channel, you got to enjoy a little bit of a visit from Joe and Ben this past Friday afternoon, where they had quite a bit to announce. So some things we had heard about before, some things, as Frank has noted, are continuing promises, but for the most part, we found that they did deliver on the items they say would be coming soon. The new traits, there were 4 new traits that were announced. Wow, it must have been 6 months ago now. They should be coming within the next 1 to 2 months. That'll be part and parcel with a trait audit. Again, hopefully we'll add some value to some existing crew by giving them some richly deserved traits. We also have, in the near future, a new event that is currently being developed and should be available to us within the next 3 months. The new event will be a Voyage event. So anybody that's passionate about what was shared on the live stream, want to talk a little bit more to me about the new Voyage event that we have coming?
Yeah, so I was listening live, and it sounded like it's going to be sort of a twist on the current Voyage interface, which, of course, all events are based on existing types of things that were already in the game. So it seems like every so often you'll have a dilemma, and then instead of a, pick A, B, or C, there will be some sort of interactive gameplay modeled potentially around Gauntlet or something like that. And you'll need to use one of the crew that you've put or some of the crew you put on the Voyage. So, just that itself sounds interesting to me. It's not quite an expedition event, which I don't think will ever be coming back, despite my efforts. But yeah, having
actually because of your efforts, Ben told me.
Damn it. He was supposed to keep that in confidence. Just not having just the same 3 events, repeating is great. And I'm, looking forward to trying it. Hopefully they do something beta and don't, throw the first event out there and have it break and then have the developers off all weekend.
Yeah, they did mention there'd be a midweek beta launch for this when it is ready for at least some live feedback. That we'll be having, just a little bit of a sneak preview in the middle of the week. So, before we actually replace what people rely on for their steady flow of purples and dilithium and all the other rewards we get on our weekends, we are going to get a little trial of that. Frank, what are your thoughts on the new Voyage event?
Like everything they do, it's not... I'm not slighting them when I say this. It's not explained fully up front. It's always... up to the players and the community to kind of go through it and report back to their other fellow community members with like the real nuts and bolts of how it works and what you need to do and what you need to avoid. Because, obviously at first everybody's going to fly blind, even if they do a guided stream with it as they have for continuum missions and other features in the past pre-launch. It's always, it's not the same as when you get your hands on it. But I will say that I have in the past always, of course, been critical of the developers when they either make a mistake or when something just doesn't go my way and I feel like I should be critical, but I can also be the first one to give them kudos and praise. And I believe that this is absolutely a time to do that, because I know Ben and Joe and the rest of their team that they have across the world have been working very hard, not just on this game, but on various things. Their resources have been stretched, and there's probably been a lot of stress, but they've managed to keep it together, and they're doing new things. And after working on eight and a half years of this game being out, which is an eternity for a gacha mobile game, they're bringing out new events and more new content, which I think is just, it speaks volumes to the dedication that Ben and Joe have, that they really believe in this, that they didn't just put their resume on LinkedIn and say, hey, parachute, get me out of here. So I'm very pleased to see this, and I look forward to actually reinstalling the game and trying it.
So Nifty, this event is going to combine not only Voyages, but also a component that's modeled, what they say is modeled around Gauntlet. How does that strike you? Do you enjoy those two parts of our existing gameplay? And what do you think about how that will look like in an event form?
Well, I'm actually holding out for the fact that these little mini games are just going to be those same mini games you get in all the ads that we watch, where they're not actually the gameplay of the game, you know, the township and the Ebony King's Return type mini games. But assuming that what they say is coming, I love interacting with Gauntlet. I also am frustrated with Gauntlet almost the entire time as well. But I'm not one of the people that's gonna loudly and wildly complain about Gauntlet, because I don't know, it's fun. I know it's a frustrating grind, so it's you can sometimes win stuff. It's cool. So I'm interested to see how they're gonna implement that. Are we going to be, is it gonna be like you start a Gauntlet, you know, there's two tracks running on Gauntlet at any given time. Are we gonna be on a Voyage event track, or are we just all gonna be on the same one, so you could run up against anybody that's in the whole pool of players? I'm curious how they're gonna implement that. Or are you gonna be playing other players at all, or are you just gonna be running up against predetermined computer players? So just like how we run into specific numbers, everybody has the same level of difficulty to scale up through Continuum or just the away mission maps. I'm interested to see how it's gonna play out. I'm also curious how, like, do we have to use tokens? Can we use tokens in the Voyage? Does that make you do better at the Voyage event because you extend, you know, especially new players whose Voyages can only go 2-4 hours? Is it the same rate of dilemma dropping? And then do you return and start again to keep progressing through the Voyage ranks? I'm really interested to see how it's gonna be, you know, implemented. So
those are all great thoughts and questions. I have a few questions myself. One of the things that they dropped a little breadcrumb in the stream was they talked about the opportunity to create a new type of crew that is useful in a different way, and then they mentioned, and this was hard to decipher, but something about antimatter bonuses. So I wonder if we'll be seeing crew that earn their own inherent antimatter bonus, like a ship battle stat. And we've seen this buff from Fleet Boss Battles, where you can gain permanent antimatter bonuses in that way. So interesting to see where they'll go with that. And really getting another dimension to our existing crew that would excel in these Voyage events would be really interesting. One thing I do want to pump the brakes on our exuberance here, the thought about a hybrid Voyage event, I'm a little bit soured on, and certainly that's going to be a way for them to extend the flavor that we get on the weekends, and there's going to be a desire to mix in these Voyage events with Galaxy and all the other event types. But I think that'd be an awkward space, though, if your crew are all stuck out on one of these event Voyages, and now all of a sudden we're shifting into a Galaxy phase where now our crew are tied up, so they may want to put some thought into that. After our Voyage event ends, if we have maybe what are, for a normal Voyage, some suboptimal crew that are jammed in there that might be good in this strange Gauntlet modeled feature, but we want to really get them back and get started on a good, powerful 12-hour normal voyage, does that really take away from what we're earning normally? On the weekends also, one of our main incomes as players is the honor and the chronotons and all the other neat little prizes that drop from sending out voyages. Something they've pushed a lot recently with the new Voyage Begolds and constantly producing great crew for them, like Simon Van Gelder, who just recently was released, you can hear on our last podcast. Are we still going to be able to earn these during events? And if not, that's going to take away a serious amount of what they've been driving for over the past few months. So interesting to see exactly what these will bring. We don't know more yet, but there's a lot of speculation here. That's what we like to bring to you on the Big Book Podcast, just raw speculation. So enjoy that.
While we're speculating, I predict 3 to 4 new currencies all on the UI somewhere.
I just can't get the mental image out of my head of it being like one of these other mobile games that are in advertisements, and you've just got this cartoony Captain Picard trapped around colored gems saying, "Help me, help me." Meanwhile, a fire's bubbling up below him.
Are we live? Are you guys recording?
Hey.
Okay. Hey, Otto.
But yeah. I just want to let the viewers know that they're retiring Command Upsize, so you guys should stock up while you can. That's inside source. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, Jenna said he's working on retrieving all of the top 100, so he should be at least 89 Command Upsize right now already. So, congratulations.
Yeah, okay. Otto, I saw you in the retrieval menu. Trying to retrieve a Command Dip Sigh. Twilight Zone enjoyers will get that. Like 3 people.
All right, I'm out. Keep going. If you cut this, at least the 5 of us will know it happened. Bye.
Thanks for jumping in. Our co-host, Automaton 2000, and that will stay in. Oh, yes, it will stay in. So I'm just going to wrap up the live stream notes here, and then we're going to move on to something that is not speculation, that is concrete. We actually have some new crew to talk about here. So I also mentioned the live stream, Galaxy 2.0. So they've mentioned wanting to revise events and make them less grindy. Now, while that wasn't specifically mentioned in this most recent stream, they did mention more strategic components for Galaxy. No more details on that, but we'll see what they mean. Also, updates to the Continuum rewards. Currently, what we're looking to see is to have a normal completion at 3 stars on all Continuum mission nodes. Rewards you with 150 quantum. The elite second tier would be 150 dilithium, and then a begold, just a straight up begold at the top epic level. I think people have enough strong thoughts on that, and they've made them known not only on the stream chat, but also in the Discord, that we can kind of leave that where it is and move on to our new crew.
Wait. So,
yes. Okay, Genos, what do we got?
We forgot to mention there is a crew slot in Davos sale starting on Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah, by the time you're listening to this, it may actually already be live. So, yeah, if you've saved any dilithium from that great 4x opportunity in the Tap Joy, or just in general, that now's the time to spend it. I know many of us are aching after that honor sale for some crew slots. I think, unfortunately, these usually come far enough after the holding tank has expired, where our crew get auto airlocked. So hopefully you've been able to find some crappy purples to let go. Again, looking at you, BG Robinson, for the 8th time. Good shout, thank you, Genos. So new crew. Let's talk right now about the crew that's going to be offered in our upcoming skirmish event. You can compete the weekend of April 12th for worst contact Riker, an animated version of Commander Riker.
He's a command side dip. Now people might be wondering, animated Riker? Well, I also was wondering the same thing, but I believe therefore he's from those very short treks, which were released, oh gosh, within the last year. As I understand it, various quality between the group of them. Some of them I've heard lots of praise, some of them I've heard were just awful. The animation style is very similar to the animated series. But of course, that was set in the TOS era. But yeah, he looks a lot like a TAS character. Fits in pretty well with the art of the game that we already have. So although he looks a bit out of place because it's an animated Riker and that's weird, it doesn't look out of place in the game overall.
Well, it's very striking too, because this is the first, I believe, character from the animated very short treks that we've gotten in game. They had previously said, I think on their last live stream a few months back, to anticipate its coming. I can tell you this, spoiler, this is not the last that you'll be seeing in the coming month with the new Mega, and the art style is radically different. So much so, it's Garrick. You'll see animated Garrick. He almost looks like regular Garrick. He does not look animated in this style like this, but the actual very short treks did, to your point, Nifty, adopt that style of like the animated series, and we'll be seeing more of those in that actual style. Garrick, I think, is just a one-off.
Also a chance that the art changes before it actually hits the game.
Yeah, still not in the game. So debuting at Voyage Rank 39, we already mentioned the primary is Command. It's a Command Psi Dip Crew. Oof. But still, its power level significant enough that it's debuting at Tier 3. Taking a look at some of its notable peers here, we all just received our free Fascination Luoxana Troy. He is a little bit behind her in triplet power level. Number 6 overall for Command Dip Psi Crew. And as far as a skill pair, he is number 3rd overall behind Timeless Chakotay and, strangely, Captain Rudolph Ransom. So, again, a crew that many of us have. Find that he drops from Skirmish because maybe a little bit more attainable for those willing to grind. Jenna, are you going to be competing or just incidentally will have this card because you love Skirmish?
It'll be a collateral acquisition. I'll get 2 copies. I'll hit, 2 million VP over the weekend. And, he's fun. He falls squarely in my parameters for citing a new crew. He's in the top 50 on debut for Voyages, and you can't go wrong with the Command primary Riker for the inevitable Riker events. 3 collections at debut, and
should have animated some more. So hopefully trade on it, they'll add that.
Yeah, but, yeah. All right, so 4 on debut, and then 2 to 3 more additional viable traits. I think it'll be pretty strong. So, yeah, I'll get him. I'll cite him. I'll enjoy him.
Probably the best Riker in the game. Missing a few Riker-esque traits. He's not a Maverick. Nope. Speaking of our brand new collection, not a pilot. And he's
not romantic.
Not romantic, but he should be added to the animated collection, to your point. But
a little flat.
Really huge feet. If you can see the art on BigBoot.app. The man has just comically Sideshow Bob-esque feet.
They're super pointy, too. Just like which shoes. Yeah, like Wicked Witch of the North.
Also, a Crooked Calm badge, which I haven't seen the short, so maybe that's relevant to the short, but a rather askew Calm badge.
Yeah, he's fun. Fun card. Yeah, I'll be happy.
His pips really pop. I like that. I like that about the art. The pips pop.
The pips pop. Well, once you pop, you can't stop. I think I'll be happy to keep him around. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll pick up 2 stars. He'll probably be sitting for me. While Janus likes to cite, I'm so stingy with my citations. We were talking about this recently on Discord that just the
miserly.
Yeah, miserly is fine too. We just wind up accumulating, and it's funny because we've had some of the best crew in the game recently just drop, like Ubiquitous Borg Queen and all the different Voyage exclusives that drop that are almost insta-sites for most of us. And still, we wind up with 20 and 30 and maybe even more sites left over, and it's just like, well, what do we put them on? And I guess it's supposed to be guys like this, but it just feels bad. It just feels bad taking another Command primary, Command Dip Psi crew, and just saying, okay, yeah, you earned these sites. I fought hard for these. I grinded 600 hard bosses on Fleet Boss Battles for these citations. But I'm going to give them to you, Animated Riker, because, hey, you earned it. Because your pips.
So I suppose then, for the people out there that maybe don't have that glut of sites sitting there, if you look at the various skillet specific to certain traits, rankings, if you already have Ubiquitous Borg Queen or Acting Captain Eric's Chances Taken Kirk, they generally cover and do better than what this Riker does. So if you are a little more hard pressed for sites and you have those crew, you don't really need to site him up. So some of those crew either are given to you through various achievements or just have been around for enough that there's a chance you've picked them up in a behold. Don't fear that you're low on sites, that you're missing out by not either earning Riker at all via the skirmish or affording the ability to cite them all the way up.
And I'll echo that and dovetail it and speak to the players that you know, are sometimes suffering from a little bit of the FOMO when a good card comes out and they say, well, I can't compete every week, I can't cite everything, I don't know what to do. If you haven't noticed, for the last, you know, almost 2 years now, every week, every time a new card comes out, they're all in the top 50 or 75. It's just basically a revolving door and a conveyor belt where one drops and a new one takes its place. So if you can't quite earn them or get them to full power this go around, don't worry, wait a week, you may find another.
They finally learned to stop throwing like Voyage Rank 300 in new cards. I think they learned from bigbook.app.
All right, I'll do it. The bigbook.app.
There you go. You're much better than that.
So,
also for Big Book yeah. Plus subscriber. Oh, never mind. We can cut that out. My computer's plugged in.
Cut anything.
All right.
This whole thing's probably going up straight, so look forward to that. Next, we have Emotionally Heightened Talin, a crew dropped from a recent pack, one of our Tuesday packs, which we haven't seen any of the strange trait-based mixed beholds lately. It's been all Tuesday packs again. Did anybody invest in Emotionally Heightened Talin, and why?
I grabbed for a few copies, and I didn't get any. Did you get her Nifty?
I did, yeah. Talk? I don't think I've cited her up yet. If I will, I'm not even saying I'm going to.
Do it.
Let me see. I gotta search. So many crew.
Yeah.
I like Lower Decks. I like her character, so that's one of the reasons I just chose to grab her. Now, as a bonus, she's quite good, so that helps. I got lucky with how many pulls I made. Got her pretty fast. If she wasn't very good, I probably would have stopped at just... I think, Genos, you and I kind of regularly do like, screw it, 5 pulls. And I got her within the, screw it, 5 pulls. But I may have done a few more, because she is a top Voyager. And once again, Command. But Command Eng, so there's something to be said there. But
yeah, she is a fantastic crew. So debuting at Voyage number 13 with a kind of an odd skill set, really, really should draw the player's wallets open a little bit. We have her at tier 2 on the big book. She has a little bit of ship battle capability too. The routine lately when ship battle crew have a crit bonus is to give them 15,000 crit bonus. She has this with a little bit of the time delay juice on top of it too. So if you wait between 2 and 6 seconds, you can jack that up to as much as 20,000 crit bonus with a 4-second initiation and starting with a really hefty +9 accuracy at max. This crew just really has fantastic capability for pretty much any ship battle application outside of fleet boss battle, which doesn't really take accuracy into account. But even there, the crit bonus is juicy enough that this, if you're hard-pressed for something to buff your attacks, she could do the job for you. Also, I'll speak briefly on her peers. So at Command Psi Eng, she's actually 40 points behind Timeless Chakotay, your Honor Hall exclusive, just ahead of the recently awarded Sydney LaForge. And far and away, besides Timeless Chakotay and Talin herself, you'd have to dig real deep to find any other Command primary crew in the skill set that really are going to do good work for you. Talking about her pair a little bit too. She's also leading her pair in Command Eng. She is number 1, just ahead of Wanted Mariner from last year.
So I confirmed I have not sighted her or even finished leveling her. She's level 70. I do think, though, that she'll probably be a good candidate for me to sight up during that objective event where immortalizing crew and even sighting crew is... Or fusing crew, excuse me. You don't need to cite them, folks. You can merge 2 copies together. That counts too.
Talin's a great crew, especially for, you know, for Tuesday packs, because that's where you pay a premium for the crew. And I've always been of the opinion that if you're going to have a premium crew for a premium price on Tuesdays or whatever day, they need to have some special niche or be worth it. Otherwise, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. This one, absolutely, with a lot of collection value, Voyage value, ship value, this is a great crew to go after. If it was from an event, it would be an extraordinarily competitive event to get her.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
For those of you who did not dip in, we'll see her next year when she finally hits the portal. Well, if anybody has finished up in the top 1500 for our current galaxy event, you've earned yourself a farewell Rios. Otherwise, say farewell to him until he hits the portal. So I think I still need to start my galaxy event. I may have put in my token one build, so I got my threshold rewards, but I think I took a quick look at him, and with an Eng primary, he was kind of interesting, but the power level was just not there for me. Anybody else competing in this galaxy event right now?
I'm not, but that's because it's a galaxy event. So there's a big caveat there. I never compete in galaxy events. Mm. I can't stand them. I either just get the purple crew maxed, or maybe do thresholds. I'm really feeling bored and have nothing else to do. But for those that do want to rank, to touch on what you said, I mean, he's what the, I think he's tied for third best engineering base in the game. Now, engineering base, you really only need a couple crew in engineering to really cover you for pretty much every event you're ever going to want. And you've already got your demo man, Scotty. That's your number one by a long shot. So yeah, it's, if you like the character and you like, you know, the show, sure, go for him, but I don't feel like I'm missing out. I sometimes, when I don't galaxy, I think, oh, I really want this crew. I'm going to have to get PAX next week. I'm not fussed about missing him.
I am eventing. I will grab two copies of Rios. I will cite him because he falls under my secondary parameter of being in the top 100 collection crew on debut on the bigbook.app's collection tab. And he's number 94 right now. He has 4 collections on unboxing, so that's good enough for me. I'll grab my copies. I've got a plethora of sites, and I need all 4 of his current collections, so I'll sight him up. And I mean, him being extra fused won't really do anything for me in the skirmish event, of course, because you just need to plop him in and use your 3 other boomsticks. But yeah, I'll do that probably on Tuesday for advance your crew.
I was going to just give a caveat to Nifty and say, depending on which way you look at your statistics, he's 5th in engineering base, or he's 3rd, because 3rd, 4th, and 5th are all tied with the exact same score, the only differentiator being the rolls. And guess what? He has the best rolls of the 3 between Agamas and Chief Engineer Rutherford. So I would say, and he's 1 point ahead of the next tied place, which is also 3 people. So engineering
is why I said tied. Tight. I did say tied because
yes.
Yeah, I guess what soured me to this, I don't keep a lot of dupes. I have fewer than 10 dupes on my roster, but Agamas is one of them. So I really didn't need another Eng dip crew, and he's just strictly weaker. He's about 50 points behind. Also, we recently earned Peldor Joy Kira just a couple of weeks ago, like 100 points behind her. Just his power level is similar to like years old crew like Caretaker Kim and Adira Tal. Just man, just so behind the times. And it, you know, it indicates where the developers' interests are right now in pushing the other game modes. And the weekend events are there, and we're going to earn some reasonable crew, but they're not going to be pushing the envelope here right now. Until the Voyage events come, we'll see exactly what they do to dangle a carrot for us then. But yeah, in the meantime, just not as interesting, but still there is some there. Yeah, I agree. Not only are those 4 collections pretty tasty, all of them stat boosting, but also some potential upside with a lot of strange traits that he does feature. So how about our campaign crew? So for our regular listeners, you're going to know exactly how many of us have opened up some Beholds with Desert Trip Tucker in it, and you know, whether or not we've taken them and added them to our roster is a different story. But for those of us invested in the campaign, how many of you are excited to actually finish him off, get him fully sighted, debuting with also quite a few collections here? I'm seeing 4, one of them being of course the Enterprise collection. That's a little bit spotty in terms of its stat boosts. Genos, are you actually collecting your Desert Trip Tuckers, or are you leaving them on the table for other things in your Beholds?
I am going to pick all 4 because I generally do. I mean, there's no one you're really going to find in that you're going to want to grab otherwise, unless it's like the first star for someone who's potentially unretrievable. You know, obviously you can't cite someone that you don't have and you can't retrieve them. But he's uninspiring outside of his cool sunglasses, and he's got a really cool skill set. with the sec command and med, of course. Unfortunately, the med is his tertiary, and while it does buoy his voyage rating, I think raw he's 140, and we have him rated at number 114, so he gains, what, 26 voyage ranks just from his skill set, his order, and then his antimatter seating. But yeah, I think he's someone who's not going to get a citation. It's possible that Maverick, that collection, will bump him into the, you know, my top 100, and I might want to cite him, but cool sunglasses, not the coolest group.
His future's so bright, he's got to wear glasses, because if I were actively playing and buying this campaign, this is actually one that would fly into the freezer. I wouldn't have a lot of use for him, because in crowded skill sets, he just doesn't stand out a lot. But there are a lot of people that appreciate Enterprise getting love and Tucker getting love, so I'm happy for them. Certainly probably the best desert crew out of that arc in that episode.
You're forgetting about Zabral. Although we haven't gotten desert Zabral.
How could I?
I think would be awesome.
This is and by the time you're listening out there, you're going to have probably heard about the new campaign coming up. This, if I had to pick between the two, I would not pick Desert Trip Tucker. I would pick the campaign that's coming after him.
So a little bit of bookkeeping on Desert Trip Tucker. His triplet, with that weird med tertiary there, puts him in some good company. A little bit slightly behind Corrupted Badgie and Brain Drain, Crusher, and Riker. Don't break your neck over this one. And if you're stuck on the last day and still on the fence about whether or not to buy into this campaign, do it if you need the sights. Don't do it for this guy. One more recent crew to talk about. This is a pack reward from a couple of weeks back, but it's good enough that I think we should probably discuss the Pawvan. The Pawvan. So this gaseous form here caused a little bit of a ruckus, soon to be remedied, as we'll talk about with our new client release 10.1.0. But this crew looks great until you immortalize it. It debuts with this fantastic bluish, almost like a nebula in the cosmos artwork, just fantastic. And then the moment you immortalize it and the game applies the gold filter to it, it turns into a stinky green fart, and it's just rough. So has anybody been lucky enough to get the Pawvan out of a pack, or are we just waiting for this for the portal?
I wish I could say I have him, because he's, or it, he, it, they, whatever, are a, that is the number two collection crew in the game. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to me more heavily than anything else. I don't really recall the episode, but yeah, I would like a blue gaseous form that hits on like half a dozen collections. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, this was the last crew I got before I, had my third huff and uninstall of the month. And it was just without even knowing the stats, just the fact that it was a blue analogous blob of gas made me giggle, because I had to see it immortalized, because I knew, it was going to turn Cousin Eddie gas green, for anybody that's seen Christmas Vacation. And sure enough, it did. But yeah, to your point, just fantastic collections, great raw power on a great skill set, Dipsy Med, which has been featured with other, with campaign exclusives in the past of Night Terror's Troy and Festive Guinan. Mm-hmm. But other than that, then it just drops off, because you've got old crew like the Bashirs or Chef Riker, not really represented. To have a strong Voyager in your crew with Med, even as a kicker on the tertiary, plus the collection value, this is one, once it finally hits the portal in another, sadly, probably another year, this is one that I say people should absolutely go diving for first.
Yep. Yeah. And you get a lot of ancillary benefit too. So not only do you get just the ridiculous amount of collections, by the way, debuting with 9 trades, very rare recently to see any crew debut with 9 traits. Usually the ceiling is 8, but they're really pushing this one. Also at Voyage, Voyager number 71 on debut, you mentioned Night Terror's Troy, Frank. 7 points behind Night Terror's Troy in the triplet. and looking at the skill pair of Dipsai and Great Company right between Festive Guinan and Sisko the Emissary. So very flyable and will still be so in the next year. Also great, a great ship battle ability for fleet boss battles with a 22nd cycle hull repair at 25%. Certainly just checks a whole lot of boxes for utility and will certainly be on my recommended retrieves in about a year's time. So we have a pretty good segue into our new client release, which is coming up soon. So for anybody that's currently on select platforms, I believe we have Steam, Facebook. You've already been treated to the 10.1.0 upgrade. Most of the larger platforms, Android, yes, Google Play and iOS will be coming, I think, on Monday. And then we'll all be force updated on Wednesday, April 10th. Remaining platforms may be soon to follow. I have written that may include Game Boy, Sinclair ZX Spectrum, if you have an LG refrigerator with a nice little tap screens, and your TI-83. If you're using Star Trek Timelines on your local ATM, if you stop by to refresh your voyage there, then you can withdraw a 20 and go ahead and get a 12-hour voyage as well. So,
ATMs really are crazy nowadays, because you remember, we're all old enough. Back in the day, you would go to an ATM and you put in your card, and it was pretty snappy because all it would do is, hey, what's your PIN? Okay, you can do three things. Do you want to withdraw? Do you want your balance? Or do you want your card back? That's all you can do. And now you put your card in and it has to think for about 2 minutes, and then it comes up and it's like, hey, please wait. And then it says, okay, what language do you want? Because I can be multilingual here. And it's a big touchscreen. And then it's like, oh, well, hey, do you, before you even put in your PIN, it's like, money? No, then you got to put in your PIN. You can buy stamps. I bought stamps at an ATM recently. I didn't need stamps, but I wanted to buy stamps because my ATM sold me stamps. And I actually didn't get the money out that I meant to when I went to the ATM because I was so impressed with stamps. This whole story exists just to let you know why down in the bottom right corner of the thumbnail where I always put a joke this week, it's a stamp.
Thank you for doing consistently fantastic thumbnails for the Big Book Podcast, courtesy of Frank. Our improvements to the Continuum Equipment feature. I'm going to read off a few with notes here. So the big one is improved user flow for equipping equipment in various features. So, and I've checked this out over on the Steam platform, you get a fancy little details button whenever you are in your Continuum mission screens and you're selecting crew. You're going to have a little details button you can click on, which brings you directly to your crew quarters where you can build equipment. And the best part is when you hit the X, it brings you exactly back to where you were back in the Continuum mission flow. So you can equip on the fly, go right back in and conquer the nodes. Currently, it's frustrating, especially as your equipment from the previous week expires. You got to go out to your crew quarters. You got to figure out which crew you want to look at. You got to filter them out and search for them. And then find out what node you were on where you left off. It's just clunky, and this completely solves that problem. The big one, as I touched on this earlier with the Pavan, they've called this reduced vibrance of VFX on immortalized crew. One of the most welcome and demanded changes since Continuum missions hit was to get rid of the gold veneer that I think we made fun of on a Trek Time. Just all of your immortalized crew immediately get ruined, and then you're stuck going to the big book to look at the full artwork just to be able to get an inkling of what Simon Van Gelder looked like before he got gilded. And so now, fortunately, they've replaced the effect with these neat little scan lines. It's reminiscent of what you see when you're in your monthly campaign and you see the featured crew, just like a little bit of a graph paper draw over, and it's very minimally intrusive, enough to let you know that you've done something special, but you still get to see your crew. Fantastic. You get some QP, some experience, even if you fail successfully going through your missions. So keep bringing those crew through, even if they can't solve the mission, and eventually you'll unlock some slots. But unfortunately, no, you'll still need to earn at least a few qubits to be able to equip them. New voice lines. John Delancey, I guess when they had him on the live stream a few weeks ago. Was it a month ago now? Wow, it's been a while. I guess they had him also pick up a couple of voice lines too. They didn't come through in as high of fidelity as I think we'd all like, but it's great to hear from him. He is quite handsome in the new splash screen. We've got John Delancey as our Zaddy, but I'm really glad that he was able to drop in something. And if you go out and into Continuum mission feature, it'll randomly play one of four voice clips or five voice clips, and then further on as you go into, he has a little bit more to say. It's a little fun.
And just as a spoiler alert, I know this is two down on our list, but there is an achievement. Obviously, as you know, there's four achievements in the game related to continuum missions. One of them, which no one will ever finish because it will take till the heat death of the universe to finish, is to unlock 5,000 equipment slots on crew, which, if for those keeping track right now, would require you to unlock equipment crew on 80% of the crew in the game right now. The reward for that is an avatar of Q, new to the game, and no one's ever seen it before because no one's ever going to do it. This is that Q avatar on the splash screen now. So this is the most you'll ever see it. Enjoy it.
Final little enhancement here. So we've had, they call them notification pips, just a little number that appears on your main heads-up display. And for the continue missions now, as your chronoton containers fill, your count will increase to reflect in the relevant button that you have a little bit of work to do. Normally where you just see that you have some campaign rewards to pick up or some cadet mission tickets left to spend, you'll also get to see the cumulative number of canisters to spend for chronotons. So for those of us playing the feature pretty heavily, we've got timers set wherever so that we know when our 12 hours is up. Now you might be able to relax a little more and just let the count do it for you, which is nice. Any other reactions on any of these improvements to the continuum or equipment feature before we move on, folks?
I mean, this is the first real set of QOL updates. We'll see how well they're received. I mean, I'm really interested more to see if the proposed changes to the rewards is going to bring more people in that aren't really playing it right now. I know, we said we weren't really going to go into that ad nauseum, but honestly, I'm more interested to see that if more people are going to jump in, regardless of the, making it look nicer, making it easier to navigate between screens and stuff like that. So that's my initial thought.
And not mentioned here, but mentioned on the TPG Discord, and even though they're not updating it with this specific set of QOL updates, they are actively working on finding a way to put more med and psy equipment parts out to the community. They don't know how they're going to distribute them, but they are trying to find a way because there's an imbalance, I think, for a lot of players that are unable to make enough med equipment or science equipment to actually progress through the higher difficulties. So they are looking for a way to do that. That is on their radar. It just didn't make it to this, but they're still actively working it.
Still a real big pain point. Yeah, what do you got, Nifty?
Oh, I'll say a couple other things that stand out to me. Looking at the list here, they are replacing replicator rations in the voyage rewards with honor, which is pretty awesome for almost all of us in voyages only.
It seems to only apply to the chance of getting replicator rations as your drop for a dilemma as well. It looks like the normal trickle of replicator rations still happens during the in-between dilemma time periods.
Right, but when I hit 10 hours and, okay, darn, it's not one of the, dropping a purple or the chance of getting the gold characters, I really don't also want to be disappointed by the fact that I just got 5, replicator rations. So honor is, it's not as nice as maybe getting one of those crew I want, but everyone uses honor, so it's nice.
No, you need to demand, honor.
I do demand honor.
The other quality of life improvements, not really anything really notable, a lot of bug fixes and small items. I don't know. Anyways, let's talk some future crew here. We have a few to get through. Let's do them pretty quickly because we don't actually have a ton of details. Most of these crew, we have a little bit of an advance warning on things that might be coming to the game in the short term. One of the ones I do want to lead off with a little bit out of order here is Displaced Mariner, who we have quite a bit of information on. It looks like Displaced Mariner is going to show up in a pack that is due to come out presumably this coming Tuesday. So this card is actually from the episode These Old Scientists from Strange New World, where we had the voice actress who plays Mariner show up Tawny in the flesh. Newsom. Yep. Tawny Newsom, thank you. In the flesh, and they've not only represented her in really great form, great artwork, but also really strong stats.
Yeah, she's pretty damn good. Yeah. I want to say she's one of the top science bases, right?
Yeah, she's coming in at number one science base. So pretty,
she is number one. So there we go. So, mm-hmm. Not one of the top.
Makes more sense than Albert Macklin.
Yeah. which right away, if you're going to have a top base and the rest of your skills aren't crap, means you're probably going to be a good Voyager, which she is. She'll debut in the top 50. And because she's Psi primary and not Dip or Command primary, she's actually going to get a lot more use than some of the other good crew that we get. That always tend to be cut and paste. And a nice Eng tertiary, which you never have too much, even if it is only tertiary. It's always nice to get a splash of that thrown in there.
Big base, hull repair, good Voyager, collections. It's again, we said it earlier, it's a Tuesday pack that if you've got the dilithium and you're brave, go fishing, because this is worth it.
Yep. Although hull repair at 8 seconds, not at 6, for those keeping track at home.
Yeah, that gets washed out over those 180-second battles that she enables for you. Once you've got your optimal hull repairers in, then she's in for the long haul. So, yeah, a little bit slower is fine with me, so long as she's on that 20-second cycle, and she certainly is.
That's true.
She ticks all the boxes, and, you know, the other box that you want to tick for, you know, a mobile card collecting game is, you know, it's a fun crew from a fun episode of a fun show. You know, arguably one of the greatest episodes, if not one, you know, the greatest episode of Star Trek ever.
Yeah, I think this is going to loosen a lot of purse strings this coming week when she comes out.
Adjust players' wallets. Just players' wallets.
Done and dusted. So we have a few other that we're going to hit on quick because we don't know exactly where they're coming from. We do know that there will be a new Honor Hall crew to celebrate the First Contact Day. So one of these four crew may be that Honor Hall crew. We, of course, have a new campaign crew coming up that we need to discuss, might be one of these. So I'm going to throw out all the names up front, and then we'll talk a little bit about the stats and what we do know about them. So this group of four we have for future crew, we have Out of Time Burnham, we have Captain Rayner, we have Gudgy, opposite of Badgy, and we have Projector Spock. So I do have a little bit of a preview here. Let's talk about Out of Time Burnham first.
Out of Time Burnham, according to the information we have right now, does appear that she's going to be a new Honor Hall crew, which is a little soon, but maybe they're trying to go ahead and coincide this new crew with season 5 and the final season of Discovery. Looks like her art indicates that she is from the first episode of season 5, which was fun. I've watched the first two episodes, and I mean, she looks like she's pretty good. Strong Voyager, Sec Eng Command, which is decent.
She got at launch, assuming things hold.
Yeah, she's got the EV suit, so solid number of collections. She's got Maverick, so that's going to be a 5 spot up front. I believe same skill set as Away Team Detmer, which was a recent Uber campaign crew, so a good complement or replacement for Detmer. I think Detmer was also a fairly strong Voyager as well. So,
yep.
And then she also has 400% instant damage, so she's got big attack. Does have an evasion penalty, but an 8-second initialization, so not best in class, but still pretty good. Fine for skirmish, but you might get wasted in arena before she can come on board, and you're not going to use her for fleet boss battles. I think it's a fun crew. I think I will enjoy chucking 100,000 honor at her over Data as sleep apnea sufferer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's abnormally fast to have a turnaround. This quickly with a new Honor Hall crew. They'd kind of gotten in a rhythm of every 3 months. Right before the honor sale, they launch one, then they do like a little faux sale on sites, and then they do the honor sale. They've been into that rhythm for a little bit. Now we're going really rapid fire, but one of the better Honor Hall crew in a while, just by pure numbers. And people who don't like Discovery, maybe they leave her there, but if you need a good Voyager in your crew, and you have 4 sites to put on her, this certainly would be a viable contender.
It is worth noting that I think we've been misled before by early indications on crew on how they're going to join the game. So if she doesn't turn out to be Honor Hall, then I think we've been wrong before. We try not to be, but it happens.
Yeah,
we're only as good as the data we have.
and data as Misaka is not the data that any of us have right now.
I do. But that's because Idle and I have sworn to take all the Honor Hall crew.
Well, that's the data you have.
That's your Commonwealth connection. Is what we call that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a little interesting. It is tough that we can't really pigeonhole the Honor Hall crew anymore. That it's just kind of a slush fund where they just have another outlet to release new crew. But this one seems notable. Yeah, coming at a top Voyage pair, number one in Sec Eng, number two in the triplet Sec Eng command. Same triplet as Chance has taken Kirk. So, you know, if you already have one or two of him maxed out, this may still provide some benefit with a completely different skill order. So next up on our future league roster, Captain Rayner. Let's take a look at this guy.
So from Burnham, who was Sec Eng command, Rayner is command Sec Eng. They just flipped it.
Spoiler alert for those who are wondering who this guy is. Season 5 Discovery. Catch up on your shows, folks. The game will spoil things for you.
Right. And since I talked a lot about the last one, I will only mention one thing about Captain Rayner, and that is that he is the best Kelleran in the game. Geno's out.
I'm not a weatherman, because I'm often wrong, and weathermen are never wrong. But if I were a weatherman, I would predict that this is going to be a giveaway crew with a monthly objective that follows it just as soon as the hairy mud one goes away. So you will have opportunities to earn up to 4 copies of this crew if it were a giveaway crew. Don't know what those objectives will be yet, but for most people, the question will now become the age-old question that we have a couple times a year. Do you drop a fifth sight on this guy to immortalize him, or leave him at 4 or 5?
Yeah, with this guy sharing the same exact skill order as Chance has taken Kirk, and having almost as good but just strictly weaker ship ability, I think he will be a stepping stone. So if you've earned your Demo Man Scotty and you're at that awkward point where you are able to run 2 healers but you still need a really good beater, you know, he can serve that role until you get your Chances Taken Kirk's online. But once you have 1 or 2 of Kirk, you won't need this guy anymore. So yeah, I agree. This is where he feels in terms of his power levels, about giveaway level.
He actually does have a position trigger though, so he's not as useful in that regard.
Yeah. The free ship you get for Fleet Boss Battles Constellation can make use of him, so that's nice, because he'll last the entire battle, which is pretty good. And so in order to get the most out of him, you will need to drop the sight on him. Just make sure you've budgeted enough to get your Kirks when they eventually drop for you. Next up we have Guji.
Once again, I'm not a weatherman, but if I were to predict the forecast, I would say Guji is going to cost you $24.99 for the premium super exclusive Uber campaign, where you could earn 4 copies of him. And this is a crew I will just immediately jump out and say, for his triplet, Inch Dip Psy, far and away the best in class. The closest thing that comes next to him is Barclay and Neelix, and then temporarily detained with Licorice Jet Reno. So once again, pretty good Voyager debuting within the top 50. Really high base, good collections.
Yeah.
He's also a 25% hull repair crew with an attack bonus, which is always nice. And as my esteemed colleagues here pointed out earlier, the slow initialization isn't actually that important. So when I said that I forget who now had the 8-second uptime, doesn't matter over the long course of a battle. So he is a slow 10, however, 18-second cycle time, which is really meaningful. That is the important thing, the cycle time, people. Not the initialization, not when you're dealing with Fleet Boss Battle. So an 18-second cycle, I think, makes him the fastest non-trigger, non-charged, non-limit hull repair crew.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They're pushing the envelope with this one. They're stepping over a threshold. Immediately devalue as a Technician Uhura in the Honor Hall if this is going to be the new standard as an 18-second cycle. This is significant. It allows players looking to drop down to that second healer the ability, if they have Guji, to do that so much sooner than they would have before. Not only that, but it's a plus attack crew, so if you get this maxed out, you're going to be also buffing your hammers that are on your Fleet Boss Battle attack. And on top of that all, we have an Eng primary crew that looks like it's going to be of a similar power level to concerning Flight Janeway in the same triplet that we just received, who's also voyaging for me. What more do you want out of your campaign crew? If this is going to be the campaign crew, man, they have changed my mind on investing. This will be something I'll be dropping for sure from day one.
That was my next question, is will Dan buy? That's a new segment. Dan buy?
So that's all the good about Gudgy. Anything bad here, man? I'm just not seeing it. Just fantastic. And on top of that, just a beloved crew. The passives even look fantastic on this crew. Yeah, everything to love.
Except there's no hologram collection yet.
Someday.
Yeah.
And we're going to wrap up with Projector Spock. So he's the one that wheels in the AV cart in front of the classroom, right?
Yes. When you were in school and you knew you were in for a good day when you had a substitute teacher or your teacher was the gym teacher who just wheels in the 800-pound CRT TV on the cart with a loading strap on it, and you know you're going to watch something really horrible and boring, or you're going to watch some crappy movie off of VHS he taped off his TV the night before.
Those are the days.
So we have a crew. It's a command eng dip crew. We have another hammer. So I'm getting a feel for how WRG is adding value for really no cost to these crew, is that all of them tend to be either a 400% damage hammer or a hull healer. I think, guys, we have to stop harping on this because they've taken notes from us and know every one of these crew is coming out with these high performing abilities here.
He has only limit two, though.
That's their safety button. Yeah, they don't want to print more.
Should we start complaining that we don't have enough eng med or med command crew? There's too many of them.
Where are our 100% repair crew? It's obscene.
Why is Lieutenant Ogawa Ensign Ogawa the only 35% hull repair? Inconscionable.
So yeah, debuting at Voyager number 52, not awful, and in a pretty decent skill triplet here, topped off by Mirror Mariner. Not exactly sure where Projector Spock will, but with pretty good company. Also attending the Command Dip Eng party are Agamus, CAP Janeway, which we got for free from Omega not too long ago, and the recently, and I think just concluding, Harry Mudd objective event also is in that same triplet. So. We have a lot of contemporaries from Projector Spot that seem to be a similar power level. Anything to really make this guy stand out here? I'm not seeing it unless anybody else is.
He's another from the very short treks that we spoke of earlier.
Exactly.
from an actually funny episode. And, you know, once again, Nostradamus here. If this were part of an animated mega and he was the recurring character, would you slap a fifth side on him to get him up to 5-5 because you'd earn 4 copies just by participating?
Yeah, there you go. Well, that makes a lot of sense with the power level we're seeing here, Frank. And also, yeah, I mean, certainly if with that new final threshold of the animated collection being a skill boosting one, he's going to add value towards that too. That's a great way to pull in that extra value. I think that's all of our future league that we get to discuss, and that should wrap up the Big Book podcast for this week. Any parting words? So let's end off with something fun. I always like to end off with something fun.
Have we not been having fun?
Zero fun, sir.
Zero fun, so.
Name that movie.
Stripes. I don't know.
Remember the Titans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was that Donald Faison, right?
Exactly. I was going to say, it's your man. Come on.
Yeah, it's been years since I've seen that. Sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
No, that's fine. I like the movie talk. Yeah, we talk about movies before the cast here. I just got done watching Kung Fu Panda 2. Most of the movies that I get to digest lately are family friendly for my 7 and my 9-year-old. Frank, what have you seen recently?
Nothing. I actually had to stop and think. I have not been ingesting a lot of media. Because I'm just, you know, doing my busy work during the day. I cannot tell you the last time I went to a movie theater what I saw. It was probably Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anything beyond that. I can't remember the last modern TV show I sat down and watched. Maybe outside, sports. That's it. You know, I had the same thing when my tax deductions were younger, where I had to watch the more age-appropriate thing. Kung Fu Panda movies... not a bad series.
Yeah, Jack Black does a great job. So they're not even peeling you out of your home theater to go see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
I forgot that was even out. What's even worse is I pay for the, I'm not even going to name the movie theater chain, A-List, AMC. I pay their premium service to get like good seating or what. I don't even know what it comes with anymore. And I just haven't used it, and I've forgotten that that movie even exists.
Uninstall.
Yes.
Kung Fu Panda 4 is in theaters too.
That's right.
My daughter saw that, but with her mom. I wasn't invited to that one.
I didn't know there was a 3.
Girls' Day.
Yeah, right.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us for the Big Book Podcast this week. See you in 2 weeks.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.